those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of wilderness, in the uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted in water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious. It does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. Let us pray. Lord, help us to trust in you so we may flourish like trees planted in water. In times of trouble, by trusting in you, may we have abundant strength, not only for our needs, but for even the needs of others. It's so easy to fall into a routine that pulls us away from you, Lord. Lord, in our hearts, help us to resist temptation when it comes to us. In your precious name, amen.
Amen.
The second lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sin. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If not for this life only, we have hope in Christ. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and the first fruits of those who have died. Let us pray. The resurrection, Lord, just affirms the truthfulness of Jesus' life. We have certainty that our sins are forgiven, that he lives and represents us at the right hand of God the Father. We have certainty that he defeated death, and that we also will be raised to eternal life. With grateful hearts, amen.
Amen. I invite you to stand for a reading of the gospel, which today is taken from the 6th chapter of Luke. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd and his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. I'd like to invite any children who are here to come forward for a children's message. Fun to pop and fun to play with.
you would be a celebrity. But one of the words that we use for those are blessings. These are blessings in your life. And blessings are things that fill us with joy, with great joy. And sometimes we can't always see that it's going to be a joyful life. Do you always love your family? You do? Good. Do you always like your family?
No.
Is your dog always a good dog?
No.
Your sister just said no, and I'm sure you're talking about the same dog. So sometimes it's hard to see, but we understand that blessings are things that bring us not just happiness real quickly like bubbles, but bring us great joy over a long period of time. All right, one more bubbles, and then we'll go back to seats. Ready? Last ones. Get it. There you go. Teen Tiny One. All right, thank you. You can head back to your seats now.
Christ, you have given us many, many blessings. We pray that you would open our eyes to see where they show up in our lives in unexpected places. In your name we pray. Amen. About a year ago, not quite a year ago, last May, I was asked with another one of my friends, another pastor, to be one of the keynote speakers at our Synod Assembly. They had three different people give keynote addresses on different topics. And we were asked to give one of the addresses. You can find it on YouTube if you want to watch. But I'm basically going to retell it right now, so don't watch that. But in our speech, the topic we were given was blessings, or blessing. What does that really mean? And so we unpacked that. And what we first did was we actually showed pictures of how that idea of blessing and being blessed shows up in our world, in our lives. And we found a bunch of different little signs and pictures and bits, like we scoured Pinterest for a while. And so I decided I want to share some of those with you. So I actually have some pictures up here. Here, like this one. What a blessing you are. These are little Valentines. So some of you may have sent Valentines out. Here's one that talks specifically about being a blessing. And it has a verse. And then here's another one. Oh, there we go. Yes, let us love one another, for the love comes from God. Here's the next picture. A little clutch. In case you want a little, like, clutch, ladies, a bag. It says blessed on it. It's got Proverbs, a verse on it. Very chic, very trendy. But we need something maybe a little more masculine. So what do we have here? God bless America. There we go. Maybe one of those rubber bracelets, you know. Bless them. Bless them. This one, I just laugh at every time. This is a handbag here that says, too blessed to be stressed. I have yet to meet the person who is like, I'm so blessed, I have no stress in my lives. I am amply blessed. I am stressed all the time. So I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. Or how about this last one? A little bit of holy water. There's a water bottle with the word blessed on it. I actually got all of these pictures from a catalog, from a magazine, a catalog that showed up at the church of all these different things that they were selling with this idea of blessed on them. And there's a lot that it's, you know, this idea of blessing and this concept of being blessed is something that's used in a lot of Christianese stuff and a lot of kitsch and a lot of cute sayings. But even though this water bottle is kind of cool and I kind of like it, I don't think it really gets to the heart of what we mean when we talk about being blessed. The first story that came to my mind a year ago when we were working on this was the story of blessings between Jacob and Esau. These two brothers, there is a biblical story from the book of Genesis where these two brothers, Jacob and Esau, were sons of Isaac, and Jacob stole his brother Esau's blessing from their father Isaac. Isaac was an older man, and he was blind, and he was confused, and he stole his blessing. It was in this story, it's as if the blessing is like a tangible, finite experience with very specific consequences for all of their lives. And in this case, the text goes on to say that Isaac gave Jacob this blessing, and with it he bestowed upon him some very specific things, like brothers and servants and grain and wine. So the blessing that Jacob took was almost like a prize or a trophy that came with rights and privileges and powers, and his father didn't save any for him. It was such a powerful thing, so much so that when Esau realized that Jacob had taken it, that it was gone, that it was literally stolen, he was devastated. He was devastated so much that he plotted to kill his younger brother Jacob. This cultural practice of blessings as a status marker became ingrained in the Israelite understanding of God and therefore ordered their whole society. So when Jesus came on the scene, it was this deep-seated belief that if your life was good and you had money and land and power, then you were blessed by God. You had done something to deserve it all. But conversely, if you were poor or sick or disenfranchised or injured or an outcast, you were not worthy of God's blessings and were instead seen as being cursed or punished by God. One of my favorite stories about this is the man who was born blind, which comes up in the Gospel of John. And this man born blind, he comes to Jesus, and immediately Jesus' disciples, the guys who walked around with him and followed him and were listening to him and knew everything that he preached, they then asked Jesus, what did this guy do? What sins did he commit that he was born blind? Did he commit the sins or did his parents commit them? Immediately, they're trying to cast blame. And in this story, Jesus calls into question the entire system of privilege and power. They asked, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. He was born blind in order that the Lord may bless him. Now, we can sit back as 21st century folks and say, like, well, of course we know if somebody's born with a blindness or with a disability, we know that it's not God cursing them. But to some extent, in a little way, we still think this way. We as church people sometimes fall into this from time to time. We may not think about it in terms of, well, that person has a disability, they must be cursed. That person has a bunch of wealth, so they must be blessed. But we do sometimes make a line between this person being blessed and that person not. Think about if you've heard somebody say this. The last earthquake, it was incredible. My neighbor's house had damage, and my other neighbor's house also had damage, but my house was fine. I am so blessed. As if those other people were not. As if for some reason they were outside of the realm of blessing. Or when we make delineations between the blessers and the blessees. I mean, how often do we teach and bless our younger generations but dismiss their ability to teach and bless us? Or when's the last time that some of the hungry or homeless people that our church blesses with such amazing efforts, how many times have we understood that they are people who then give blessings back to us? No, 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 let us help you. No, 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 let us give you these things. No, no, let us bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Our gospel today talks about blessings being upon those who don't fit the mold. It says, blessed are the hungry. And in some translations, including the one on the blessing of the Sermon on the Mount, it talks about blessed are the hungry for righteousness. But in today's gospel, it says, blessed are the hungry. Because Jesus comes in and upsets the apple cart and the directions in which blessings flow. They aren't only from the perceived powerful and perfect, but blessings are not some form of charity that gets bestowed on the low and the lowly. The Sermon on the Plain is a prime example of another time when Jesus tried to make it abundantly clear that God is not abandoning or cursing those who society chooses to ignore or to ostracize. We as people of faith tend to spiritualize this lesson. We tend to spiritualize this text because it makes it more comfortable with less implications. Blessed are the hungry. What does that mean to me who always has enough to eat? Blessed are the poor. What does that mean to me who has a roof over my head? Blessed are those who are persecuted, who are ignored. What does that mean to me who is in the in crowd? If we look at this gospel and we remember that this gospel of Luke was written for a very specific poor and working class audience who lived in a daily reality of poverty and hunger and exclusion, then we could remember that for the community that heard Jesus say these words for the first time, for him to name their circumstances, to stand in solidarity with them and call them blessed, was very, very good news. So in our blessings, where are the hungry? Where are the meek? Where are those who mourn? There's a line in this fairly well-known hymn that is sometimes sung called "When Bread, When Body." And this hymn has a line. It says, "This cup of blessing which we bless." And I keep thinking about that line again because that cup is talking about the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you and for me and for all of humanity through a very unserene and unpeaceful death on the cross. Jesus' biggest blessing to the world came in an act that looked like abject failure to everyone else. Where are those places in your lives that looked like failure, but were actually unforeseen blessings? For me, one of my favorite stories comes from when I was in college. I was studying in Indiana, and kind of like the weather has been here in California, it was very cloudy and overcast for weeks on end. But instead of rain, we had snow, because it's the Midwest. And I just got really down after a couple weeks of just not seeing the sun. I'm somebody who would be terrible living in the Pacific Northwest. That's, I think, why I live in Southern California. But after a few weeks of just not only the overcast and the gloominess and the snow, but also it was cold and miserable, I was getting really down and really bummed. One night, a friend of mine, one of my best friends still to this day, she and I were walking from somewhere back to our dorm, and we looked up, and the sky was completely clear. The stars, you could see them. The moon was huge. And she goes, "Ugh, can't believe it." So what are you talking about? What's wrong? And she says, "I know how sad you have been, and for weeks I've been praying for clear skies so the sun would come out. And God just gives me a clear night instead." She had felt like that was a moment of failure, where her blessings went unanswered, where she'd been given this clear night. What a failure that seemed. But in that moment, I realized that I had a friend who was willing to ask the creator of the universe to move the sun and the moon and the stars and the clouds to make her friend feel better. In that moment, I understood the power of being blessed by a friend, a sister in Christ, who to this day I know I can still rely on for those kind of blessings. That looked like a failure to her. But I know in the core of that is one of the best blessings that I've had in our friendship. So all of these cute sayings that we showed the pictures of, these handbags and these water bottles and these t-shirts, they're nice things to have, but they fall short of the depth of the meaning of what it really means to be blessed by the cross of Christ in our circumstances and in our lives, because God's gift of grace comes to us, and our flaws and our failures are not outside of that realm of blessing. We believe that Christ has such a hold on us that we can't help but seek out blessings in our world and be led towards the broken world that God loves so much. We are not afraid to come face to face with pain and suffering in our world in order to name and claim God's blessings that come into that brokenness. Because we know that Christ has blessed us through his own brokenness on the cross. So nothing that we do is out of reach. So then, disciples of Christ, go. Go as you are called. Go and tell the story of Jesus' death and resurrection and healing and blessings that come with being saved by grace through faith, so that God's work might be revealed in us as well.